Good morning, everyone, and welcome to EZL's first quarter 2015 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued this morning, it is available on the company's website at www.ezl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Freitas. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everybody. I'm here in Santiago together with Bernardita Infante, the Deputy CFO of ECL, and Marcela Munoz, the Investment Relations Officer of the company. And I hope you all have in front of you the presentation that we uploaded yesterday morning to our website, a PDF about the first quarter results of this year. So before we get started and we jump to slide number 3 of this presentation, which has the highlights of this quarter. So as you can see, the EBITDA of ECL in the first quarter of this year reached $80 million, which is more or less compared to the same period of last year. And this is, on one side, we have generally better margins and a very good operating performance this quarter. That's on the good side. And on the bad side, we had a non-recurring effect last year that positively impacted last year's EBITDA, and this year we have a non-recurrent negative capacity payment adjustment that I'm going to explain a bit more later. On the net income side, the bottom line increased by 10% to $27.3 million this quarter. This basically because of better foreign exchange results and slightly lower depreciation costs as well. And if we compare the net debt of the end of March of last year compared to the end of March of this year, you can see here in the table that the net debt decreased by almost $100 million, and this because of the strong cash flow of the company in the period. So, moving to page slide number 4, those are, I would say, the non-financial highlights of the quarter. I think here that there are a number of very important things to highlight. First one, as you probably know, or most of you know for sure, on February 6th, the trunk transmission study that was being prepared by independent consultant hired by the government concluded that our line, our 10 line, is the best alternative to finally interconnect the SIC and the SYNC systems. As you know, we are so far only present in the SYNC, north of the country, and we have been for 15 years studying a line to connect the SIC and the SYNC, and now it is finally true. And likewise, on April 16, the Minister of Energy signed a decree which formalized the Trunk Transmission Annual Expansion Plan, whereby our line is selected as a line to connect the two systems. So finally, we can say that our line will be the trunk line to connect the SIC and the SYNC. On the new coal plant side, I mean, IEM-1, the new coal plant that we are building in Mejillones, we gave notice to proceed to the EPC contractor, SK Engineering Construction from Korea. So they started the physical construction of the IEM-1 plant in Mejillones, which together with a new port has a total investment cost of $1.1 billion. And the plant is scheduled to start operating in July of 2018. The same, and this is through an EPC agreement. In 10, it is the same approach. We have EPC agreements, lump sum, turnkey EPC agreements, with Alstom, for the substations, and stick the coppers from Chile for the transmission lines itself. We had a full EPC agreement with Alusa from Brazil, which now named Alumini. But they reported financial issues in Brazil, so we decided to sit down with them and renegotiate the agreement. So we split the EPC, and now Alstom directly is in charge of the substations. Alstom already was a subcontractor of Alusa before. And for the line, we had now Signo Coppers as our counterparty for the line, having for part of the line Alumini as subcontractor. Dealing with Signo Coppers for the transmission line and Alstom for substations. And we already gave as well notice to proceed to both of them. So the physical construction of the line is starting. The line has been built, has been constructed since beginning of last year with the detailed engineering, etc. And the physical construction is starting now so that we can deliver the line to be ready in July of 2017, meaning 1 year before the new coal plant. The fourth bullet here, we had severe floods in the north of Chile, which is something rare. As you know, it usually is a desert. But we had no issues with our assets, with our plants or our transmission assets, and no issues with our people as well. And finally, for dividend side, we 2 days ago in the annual shareholders meeting, the dividend payout of 30% was approved for last year's income. So we had already paid $7 million in September last year. So now, in 1 month from now, in the end of May, we will pay the remaining $19.7 million, which will make a total payout of $26 million, which is 30% of net income of last year. So now, pretty quickly here on page six, what I said already, that we are owning the sink, which is, I would say, a market that's only one third of the sink. And with the line, we are going to a much bigger market and with a much more balanced profile of customers as well. But this is not new. I propose that we jump now to page eight, which I think deserves some attention. Here is a slide that we have presented just to illustrate that there is no real short-term correlation between the demand for power in the north of Chile and the price of copper. So you see here that the copper price has evolved between 2 and 4 in the last 10 years, but the consumption or the copper production, sorry, in the sink has been pretty much stable. But the consumption of power to maintain the same production of copper has increased. And this is a trend that is going to continue. So for the current mine activity in the sink, because the Chile mines are very cost efficient compared to other mines in the world, we don't see a big issue here on the demand side. But for the expansion, which is in slide number 9, for the expansion, of course, the copper price is very relevant. That's why we have only been able to launch IEM-1 at the end of last year, once we won the new PPAs in the SIC. But as you know, we have had this project in our portfolio of projects for the last 3 or 4 years. So what I mean is that IEM-2, the new coal plant, as well as other investments, will only be triggered once we are able to sign long-term PPAs with reliable parties, which is our approach for growth. On page 11, I think here, just to illustrate that we are by far the largest player in the sink. And here on the chart in the right, you see the growth expected for the next 3 years. So, We had a 38% growth between 2010 and 2018 with the commissioning of CTA, KTH a few years ago, and with the commissioning of IEM-1. And on page 12, the same, 53% of our capacity in coal, as you know. Here, just to highlight that we do have 2,300, more or less, kilometers of high voltage lines, which is something that that people usually don't know. We are the third largest player in transmission in the country, and this and transmission for now is the way to get to customers. So transmission, we may sell in the future a stake in transmission. We are going to sell 50% of 10. We have already started this process in the market. There's already an info memo circulating in the market through which we are searching for a partner to acquire 50% of 10 so that we can focus and concentrate our cash and our balance sheet on the core, which is generation. Slide 13, just to shed some light on the recent PPAs that we got. So in December last year, we got this 15-year PPA for 2,000 gigawatt hours in 2018 and 5,000 gigawatt hours 2019 and 32 at the price of 124 as of end of last year, dollars per megawatt hour, which is above our current average price. The current average price that we have today, this quarter, in the first quarter, is 104. So it's $20 above our price. And this is an important increase for our sales. We have annual sales of more or less a bit more than 9,000 gigawatt hours. So we have one CPA for 5,000, up to 5,000. So it's an important increase. With a more diversified client portfolio, today we sell only 20% to regulated customers. These are going to be much more balanced in the future. And with access to the SIC, a bigger and totally new market for ECL. So also from a geographic perspective, we have different types of customers now. And this is what launched the construction of the new coal plant. And we have as well signed new long-term 15-year LNG supply contracts to increase the utilization factor of our combined cycle plants in the north to back this increase in commitments. So talking about commitments, in slide 14, this is to illustrate our balance of our portfolio balance in the commercial side. This is basically what we have available to generate. I mean, the efficient capacity that we have available to generate over time, compared to the estimated consumption of our customers, already taking into account some pass-through provisions to customers of marginal costs and maintenance risks. So here the relevant is the last line, C over A, the percentage contracted, which as you see for this year, basically 100% of our efficient capacity is already contracted through long-term customers, long-term contracts. The remaining average lifetime of our customers, of our PPAs with customers has been extended to 11.2 years with this new PPA in the SIC. So this is just to illustrate that we do like to operate minimizing the spot price risks. So 100% this year, 97% for next year, and slightly going down over time. But as time passes by, we continue to contract so that, for example, in 1 or 2 years from now, we see this new table and we see that the short-term sales are already covered by long-term PPAs. On slide 15, this hasn't changed much. Basically, all our PPAs are indexed to a certain type of a few in different stakes. On average, more or less 60% indexed to coal and 20% to gas, and the remaining basically to inflation. And this tends to reflect our exposure on the cost side. So that's why you'll see that our average price has gone down this quarter compared to the same quarter of last year. But the costs have also been reduced. So at the end, what's important for us is not the revenue line or the average price in dollars per megawatt hour. That's not the relevant thing that we look at. What we do consider as our priority is to maximize margin, to maximize EBITDA. And that's what has happened in this last quarter. And here on page 16, you see here the what I'll explain. For example, if you see the how this ML tariff evolution was in the first quarter of last year compared to the Henry Hub prices, for example, as you know, the ML tariff is, which is public, has 60% indexation to the Henry Hub variation. So if you see, for example, here in the chart, January of last year, between January and May or March of last year, you see that the Henry Hub, the monthly average of Henry Hub was much higher than the yellow line, which is the Henry Hub reflected in the ML tariff. So our PPA was, I would say, out of the money. We were having higher costs than what we were able to charge to ML. Here, this quarter, this started to reflect the reverse. You see here that the Henry Hub has gone down, and that's why the ML tariff will also go down. And by the way, there is the April 2015 average tariff of ML has been already reduced in 10%. This reflects that our gas prices are also going down. And for example, the last boat we received was landed in the beginning of April at a much lower Henry Hub price than what we were paying in the beginning of this year, for example. So again, costs are going down, but also the prices in the ML tariff. On page 17, you see here the margin. So as I said, the average realized monomic price for this quarter, $104, compared to the average cost to supply these customers at $54 per megawatt hour, more or less. So this has been pretty much stable over time, sometimes a bit more, 52, sometimes 50. So, but that's our approach, to cover and to match costs with revenue indexation. And talking about costs, on page 18, you see the overcosts in the sink, which were an issue, I would say, in 2013. Now it's less of an issue because with the reduction in the diesel and oil overall prices worldwide, you see here that last year, in the first quarter of last year, our stake in the overcost was 26.6, and this quarter was only 15.7. So we had a reduction in our stake in the overcost of $11 million, more or less, of which there is a partial pass-through to customers. So this today is less of an issue. Now, a bit more color about the projects on slide number 20. This IEM, which is two coal plants, we have only started the first one. As I said, the second one is contingent upon closing of new sales contracts. And on page 21, a bit more details here. As I said, notice proceed given to SK from Korea in January of this year. We are right now in the site leveling phase. We have placed some purchase orders. We are finishing some engineering. So this physically has already started to happen there in Mejillones. The COD, the commercial operational date, is in 3 years from now, July 2018, with a total capex of $1.1 billion, including the new port. The permits are there. We have basically all the environmental permits, the land's ours, the marine concession, everything is there. And we do have some key contractual protections not only for IEM, but also for TEN. And that's, I think, very important to highlight that in the PPAs of the distribution companies in the SIC, as part of these PPAs, we have the possibility of delaying the start of the supply to the SIC. For example, if there is a delay in the ESA, in the new line that ESA is building between Polpaico and Copiapó. The same thing happens, for example, if there's other force majeure reason, that we have the possibility of delaying the start of the supply. So, but on top of that, what we do have are some contractor provisions, for example, with the EPC contractors, both with Sigma Coppers and with Alstom and with SK. We have, for example, performance bonds and liquidated damages provisions through which we can be compensated if something happens. And for example, that's what happened in the CTH construction, which was delayed. The commission was later than what we had contracted. So we were able to claim and to collect from the contractor in 2011 a cash payment of almost $100 million. So this is just to illustrate that we have protection about against this type of risk. And as well, we are right now negotiating the standard insurance package for both IEM and the port and TEN, which as well includes some delayed startups provisions in there. On page 22, now focusing on TEN, the circuit, 1,500 megawatts, 600 kilometers between the SING and Copiapó. And this line is, as I said, going to be the trunk line to connect the two systems. The total capex is now $860 million. We had spent $20 million up to last year, and plus $20 million this quarter. So the total capex is now a bit higher than what we had informed before, basically because as part of the troncalization process, the government has asked us to reinforce part of the line so that the line can be really the trunk line. As a reminder, we have started this construction a bit more than 1 year ago as a private line, as a dedicated line to connect some plants of ours in the SING to the SIC. Now with the interconnection, with the trunk interconnection, we had to reinforce some part of the line. So now the total capex is $860 million. And as I said, the partner search is ongoing, and we expect that by the end of this year, we do have the partner to take 50% in TEN. And the scheduled commercial operation date is July of 2017, meaning 1 year before the new coal plant. So we do have more buffer as well. On page 23, I think here what is important to highlight as well is that in the rights of ways here in permits, we have already secured and paid, by the way, 88% of the rights of ways for the line. So what we do have remaining is only 12%, which is 70 kilometers, most of which and only 10 kilometers, meaning less than 2%, which is already under negotiation with private owners. Anyway, as an alternative measure in case of a problem, we have already filed for the electric concessions, which is something new in Chile that was approved a couple of years ago. And this is, we can impose the electric concession in case there is no, I would say, reasonable agreement with a private player. So we do think that we are well advanced in this, with almost 90% already paid. And we are working in several fronts in the line. So these 70 kilometers, they are not the bottleneck of the process. We are advancing in other sites. Okay, now on page 24, that's the famous potential condition of Eletica Monte Redondo. As we have already stated in the past, we do intend to acquire this company one day, and GDF Suisse do intend to sell it. The issue is that we are waiting for the risks of the Laja plant to be mitigated. So the Laja plant is now ready, I mean physically ready, but it's still being tested. So there is a possibility that we will launch this process this year or next year. I mean, there's no discussion whatsoever yet at the board of ECL, for example, about the timing of this. What we do want to do is to launch it only once the main risks are mitigated. And once it happens, as we have said several times before, it will be led by a committee, led by the independent board members, and those are the ones that are going to discuss and negotiate with GDF Suisse as seller the price and conditions for the transaction. So this will be made in full transparency and at arm's length conditions. On page 25, some quick information about our renewable portfolio. We are finishing the construction of a small solar plant, Pampa Camarones, the first phase, for only 6 megawatts. But this is expandable to up to 300 megawatts, but only once we are able to secure more PPAs. The same thing, for example, for El Águila 2, another solar plant, and the Calama wind farm that we are working and trying to get more and more PPAs to expand our portfolio. Now I propose we jump to page 27, which is the CapEx program for next years. So basically, that's a huge CapEx plan, but it's perfectly doable. We have as I said, $1.1 billion for IEM, $840 here for the next for this year and next years for 10. But 10, as I said, our intention is to have a partner, and our intention is to have a project finance for 10, which is a separate vehicle. So the cash commitment that ECL will have to inject, for example, over 10 onto 10 is only 15%. So if you hear that the last line of this table, total with 10 at 15%, is really the cash requirements that ECL will have to incur in the next years for our commitments. And we have already started to find it, which is on page 28. Because we are committed to maintaining our strong investment grade rating of BBB, we have reduced the payout to 30%, as I said, and this is walking the talk. We have already discussed in the past that we would pay more dividends every time we had lower capex, but once we have higher capex, we are going to reduce the dividends. That's why 2 days ago in the shareholders meeting, it was approved to reduce to 30% the payout. On the financing side as well, we do have today a very comfortable cash position. Cash that we have been able to accumulate over time, waiting for this moment that now we're going to spend part of this cash. We are going to raise new senior debt as well for up to $250 million. And we are going to search for equity-like funds, which may be a hybrid bond, which has, for example, 50% of equity content. Sale of non-core assets. So as I said, we may in the near future sell a stake in our existing transmission assets, and we may as well increase equity, increase capital, and issue new shares, issue equity. But there's no decision so far on it. For And for 10, as I said, approved finance with 70% long-term non-recourse debt, because here the idea is that we do not consolidate 10 onto ECL once we sell it part of it to a partner. So now jumping to page 30, the last part, financial results. You see here that a slight improvement in sales, gross electricity generation, energy available for sale, etc. The most interesting chart is the one in the right below, which shows, as I said, the reduction, for example, in the price for the unregulated customers, which is basically a consequence of the reduction in the fuel prices or in the coal prices in Henry Hub. But as I said, what's important to focus is on margins. So talking about the margins on page 31, here's some numbers. The average realized monomic price decreased from 115 in the first quarter of last year to $104 per megawatt hour. So a 10% reduction, which explains why our revenues decreased by 7%. But on the other side, EBITDA remained strong at $80 million in the quarter. And the reasons are here illustrated on page 32 in a graphic way. So on the positive side, we have more margin on the on our PPAs. And here, one important contributor was the PPA with ML, which, as I said, was kind of out of the money last year, and this quarter is much more balanced. We had as well lower operating expenses. We are going through a complete exercise to reduce our costs and to optimize our operations. And a part of this $7 million here is, for example, what we have renegotiated in Argentina with our with TGN from Argentina. And we have announced already this last year, that we managed to get an agreement with them through which our EBITDA will have a positive impact of $1 million per month beginning in May of last year. So you see here basically $3 million because of this. And on the negative side, we have $6 million of positive impact last year, which is non-recurrent, which is the final settlement with an EPC contractor. And this quarter, this year, we had a $60 million negative impact for capacity payment adjustments, which is basically the firm capacity that we had to buy. We have made some estimations throughout last year, but in March of every year, there is the final number, and in our case, it was negative in $60 million. But net-net, the EBITDA was flat in $80 million this quarter. Net income increased by 10%, as I said, $2.5 million, more or less, on page 33. The most important reason was FX difference. Because of the higher volatility in the Chilean peso-dollar exchange rate this quarter, and our people managed to do a good job, I'll say, although we have accounts in dollars and we do have debt in dollars and revenues in dollars, but we do have, for example, to pay some commitments in pesos, to pay taxes in pesos. So this management was positive this quarter, as well as some lower depreciation figures, because we extended the useful life of certain assets after investments. So we made some investments so that we extended this useful life, and as a consequence, we reduced the depreciation. Page 34, the cash position, as I said, pretty comfortable, pretty much flat this quarter. The gross debt as well at 2.4, and here the net debt is at only 1.5 over EBITDA. This number is going to increase, first as we use our cash in investments, and later as we raise more debt to fund the investments. But still a very comfortable position. Talking about debt on slide 35, we like to keep it simple. We have only two debts, in dollars, long-term, fixed rate, period. So we issued last year in October a new bond that we repaid a project finance for CTA. And in this repayment, we reduce the cost and increase the duration of our debt. So today, the average cost, the average coupon cost is more or less 5%, with an average life of 7.7 years. So no cash flow pressure whatsoever in the next 5 years, which is the period that we have to build IEM and 10. Page 36, net debt evolution. This is the comparison between December of last year and March of this year. So net debt more or less flat, a 1% increase, basically because our cash flow from operations was sufficient to finance our capex and the interest payments and tax payments as well. So to finish on page 37, dividends, this is walking the talk. Here to illustrate, we had paid 100% in the two previous years because we didn't have much capex. We had already paid only 50% in 2011 because we were finishing the construction of CTA and CTH, and now only 30%, which was the same number that we paid in 2009 when we were in the middle of the construction of CTA and CTH. So this is basically delivering on what we had promised. And to finish on page 38, just to illustrate the recent performance of our share price in the Santiago Stock Exchange. The last year, our share price increased by 35%, which compared to the IPSA index in Chile of only 4%. And this year, up to end of March, our share price increased by 11% compared to 2%. So, and as of today, I mean, if you see the whole number, it's more or less a 50% increase in the share price since the beginning of last year. So we are finally delivering on our growth that we had expected for some time now. So we are not only having a better operational profile, but also delivering on growth. And on page 39, the rating that I said, triple B by both S&P and Fitch, stable, and we are committed to defending it in our CapEx plan. So with this, ladies and gentlemen, I finish my presentation, and we are now open for questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you poll your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Andrew Baker, Business New America.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. So my question is about the interconnection of the two trunk line systems. What I'm wondering is that in order for the interconnection to work and in order for ECL to meet its supply commitments from the last power tender, is it necessary for both the 10 project and the Cardones-Polpaico project to be completed? And then my second question is...
Andrew.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry, because this call is intended to for analysts in the market. So I ask you to contact our Beatriz Monreal, which is the person in charge of press relations at ECL. Is that okay for you?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
And again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And your next question comes from the line of Nicholas Shield with Santander.
Yes, good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my question. I was just to put into my model, because in the last years you have been been selling gas to third parties, and previously we were selling to some mining companies, and last year and this year you're going to be selling some gas to YS Gener, okay? What should we expect on this for the coming years? Do you think it's going to be able to put more gas in some mining companies, or is something we should not consider for the coming years? And also, in terms of the cost of transmitting energy using the 16 interconnection line, or at least for to supply your contract, do you have any estimates considering as a trunk system your interconnection line? And how much could it cost to transmit energy from your Infraestructura Energética Mejillones to the sources of your demand? Thank you.
Thank you, Nicolas, for your questions. The first one about the gas. I'll start with the easier one. The one for the gas, I mean, I would not count much on gas margin this year. Why? Because with the current prices that we have for oil and et cetera, I mean, our margin that we can make in reselling gas is not much. And that's why you don't see, for example, here in our chart for EBITDA breakdown, you don't see anything on gas, because there wasn't much change between last quarter or the first quarter of last year. The first quarter last year, we didn't sell much gas. So for this quarter, it was more or less the same amount of money that we made. But I would not count that this would be a relevant contributor of EBITDA for ECL, because at the end it is, for us it's clearly an upside. I mean, every time that we think that we'd better resell part of our gas that we had in our portfolio of contracts to a third party, to a mining company or to Gener or to Endesa, etc., we would do it. It makes sense for both parties. But I would not put this in our forecast, for example. And for the transmission cost in the line, we so far don't know it, because clearly this line is a trunk line. We have a remuneration of 10%, as you said, as you know, 10% over the asset base. 10% before taxes in real currency over the accepted asset base. So this is to be split between all the players that will be affected in the trunk area. So some generation companies, some distribution companies. So at the end, we don't know yet which stake ECL will have to pay in this process. But clearly, for us, what we have seen is that we were able to sell this energy in the SIC, and the tranquilization of the line makes sense for us. But to give a number, right now, so far, we don't know it.
Okay, sure. And one last question, if you allow me. Do you think that the $80 million you are doing now in EBITDA is something we should expect to be seen in the coming quarters to be maintained, or is something that was more a one-off because you still haven't reflected all your gas prices in terms of tariffs? I know you already received a cheaper gas shipment, but do you think it's sustainable to bet for the $80 million?
As I said, we do have indexation of tariffs of prices to cost. And in 1st of April, we got a new boat with cheaper gas. And on the other hand, in April, the email tariff was reduced in 10%. So, as you know, we don't make EBITDA forecasts. We don't provide any guidance on this. But at the end, as I said, our margins are pretty much protected. So, at the end, if we perform well, we should continue to have good numbers.
Okay, thank you.
And again, for questions, please press star 1. And there are no questions at this time. And there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, so I guess there's no more questions. I thank you all for your time and for your interest on ECL. If you have further questions, please don't hesitate to contact either myself, Marcela, or Bernadita, and we'll be pleased to answer. Thank you, and have a good morning.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.
Do you want to listen to another Encore conference? Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Press 1 for yes or 2 for no. Goodbye.